Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I want to be a castaway and leave the world behind. Take a tropic holiday, say goodbye to keeping time. Wasting away down by the coast, Pacifico and chasing line. Easy living down in paradise.
Hi there, welcome back. Yeah, a little Zach Brown. It's one of my favorite bands, actually. I just rarely play it. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. Go to katedalyradio.com. On Monday, I'm going to replay Dr. Judy Mikovits, who exposed Fauci and got thrown in jail, and you know, the whole story. I'm going to replay that. Greg Mannarino, I think, is on that show. I'm going to replay that on Monday, and I hope you enjoy that. And listen again. You'll pick up new stuff, I promise, from Judy's just, I mean, hurling expose of the vaccine movement and all of the things that she tried to expose. It's pretty amazing that she landed in jail and got stripped of her career. You have to listen to that whistleblower. She's amazing. And welcome back. KateDalyRadio.com for the podcasts as well. You can share those. And if you see the word short, it just means that it's a shortened podcast recording of this live show. So maybe 5 minutes or 13 minutes. And everyone has that kind of time, right? But if you're traveling at all for this Memorial Day weekend, what a great time to listen. So cue up the shows and listen, and let's all get educated. I've got great guests that, just like Alan, and I'm so glad Alan found his way back. His call was dropped. It's just crazy how that happens. Alan Stevo is joining me. He's a writer for, my gosh, everything, The Hill and Daily Wire. I mean, you name it, right? You're out there. I love it. Daily Caller. Yeah, it's awesome. And also author, several books to his credit, of course. But he's going to be joining me on a show to talk about Bitcoin probably maybe in a couple weeks, if I can talk him into it. And but right now we're going to talk about, because he is like the guy on Bitcoin. You're going to want to hear from Alan on this. But let's talk about how to sue your governor, Alan. Alan, are you there?
Hey.
There you go.
Yes, I'm here. How you doing?
Okay.
Dave?
Okay.
The piece, the How to Sue Your Governor piece that we were just getting started up with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to run through that a little, and it's not for everyone, but those who would be excited about that kind of topic,
mm-hmm.
you know, now is a great time to get the pen and paper out, take a few notes down.
Okay.
There's a
framework.
Important.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again?
There's a framework, and it's kind of interesting to kind of hear about this framework that you go through, because we can utilize the Constitution. We can utilize this justice system, even though we know that there's a lot of crooked stuff going on. We can still utilize it to help us. So I love it.
100%. The first question to ask yourself if you're ready to bring a lawsuit like this forward is, do you want to do it pro se?
Mm-hmm.
That means, you know, totally by yourself,
okay.
Representing yourself. Do you want to go with a public interest, maybe a pro bono attorney? Or do you want to hire an attorney on your own? And it brings different options. And I kind of focus a little on going at with your own attorney and
mm-hmm.
going with a public interest or pro bono attorney.
Okay.
Because you end up with kind of a neat team around you
yeah.
in each of those situations.
Sure. I mean, that'd be hard to do yourself, represent yourself and not know all the ins and outs.
Yeah. And a lot of people, they learn a lot from the system by going
mm-hmm.
pro se.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, when it's so important to just kind of get through to end these lockdowns as quickly as possible, to return to life as normal as quickly as possible, because every day it just kind of, a little
mm-hmm.
bit more of our society kind of disappears.
Right.
The time is so important. Maybe now's not the time to kind of dabble in the system. Now's the time to get it done.
Right. I agree.
In doing so, you know, you just kind of have to, the process more or less is brainstorm a little bit,
mm-hmm.
find the attorneys, the best possible attorneys, and then send them out some emails, follow up with a phone call.
Okay.
And you just got to stay organized through the process.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna jot down a letter. Dear so-and-so, I'd like to sue my governor. I've not been able to go to church. I've not been able to open my business. I've not been able to go protest concern of mine.
Right.
Would you represent me?
Okay.
That's going to be your email, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And every state has organizations that are just waiting for cases like this. And in my article, I talk about them. There's organizations like the Thomas More Law Center or Landmark Legal Foundation or Southeastern Legal Foundation, or even sometimes the ACLU is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the ACLU is wonderful.
Yeah.
But the goal is kind of reach out to these people and to say, hey, this is what I'm looking to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you have an interest in representing me? Most of them are going to say no. They can't take the amount of caseload that comes through their door. But this is incredibly vital. You're going to ask them then for a referral. Mm-hmm. Do you know anyone who would do this?
Okay.
And then each of these organizations has these vast email lists. Not every organization is vast, but they have email lists of lawyers who do this for a hobby. That,
That's
they might
cool.
get a few emails a month, mm-hmm. and they'll say, this is perfect for me. I'm
going to
spend 5 hours a month for the next 3 months working on this case. That's my plan.
So cool. So you name some of these. The Institute for Justice, they have at least one member of their staff taken an interest in the topic of corona bans and invites people to submit details. And the Thomas More Law Center, thomasmore.org, focuses on family life, religious freedom, so for the church aspect, and then calls itself the Christian Response to the ACLU. I love that. And Southeastern Legal Foundation, Pacific Justice Institute. These are all places that you can go and submit an email to them, right?
Yeah, that's the idea.
I love that.
And some of them might operate just in one state. Some mm-hmm. of them might be national. You got the Goldwater Institute that says, hey, we want to be national. And there's even a group, it doesn't incorporate all of these organizations, but there's even a group called the State Policy Network. They might have, I don't know, maybe they have 200 members who seek to do this kind of work. So that could even be an easy place. The State Policy Network could be an easy place to kind of begin the search.
Excellent. You know, even Judicial Watch, I've had them on the show, and you know, all these different organizations are just the James Madison Center. You list these, and I'm going to be listing Alan's article, by the way, on this on the Kate Daly Show site on Facebook. So for all of you that are wondering about this piece, but there's just so many different places. I mean, this is really cool. And then you say tap their referral network, right?
Yeah. That's the
I
key.
Like that.
That's the key.
Yeah.
They're going to end up with more lawyers. And that's what a lot of these organizations do. Part of their strength is that they have the referral network of lawyers around them mm-hmm. that they can refer your case to.
Okay. Because this is the only way Wisconsin ended up where it went all the way through the court process so that the Supreme Court of Wisconsin could say, no, Governor, you can't do a stay-at-home order. If that group would not have gotten together to do that, they would have never met that goal. And so we don't change anything unless we start to change it, right? I mean, we have to do some action.
100% right.
Yeah.
And the way the lockdowns are going to come to an end, it's not going to be from some 38-member blue ribbon committee that says, well, you can get to stage 7 mm-hmm. by August 31st. I don't know how many days August has.
Right.
By the end of August, it's going to happen just the way the lockdown started. It's going to happen one person at a time, no longer complying. And just another way to kind of push the hand of government, mm-hmm. another way to not have to fight the revolution over again, as mm-hmm. you said, is you can bring it to the courts.
Right.
You can call up the police when you see the police do something bad. You can a number of government officials have pointed out to me that one of the reasons they continue to enforce some of the sillier lockdown orders mm-hmm. is because they're hearing from all the Karens right now. And the Karens are saying, oh, this and that is happening. And they're not hearing from the people who want to be left alone, because the people who want to be left alone are just going out and living their lives. But, that might be
true.
A little bit more pressure that's not Karen pressure might be helpful to some of these people.
That's a great
these,
point.
Tyrants to hear.
That is a great point, by the way, because I was talking to Sheriff Richard Mack yesterday, and we were talking about the whole by order of the governor, and that's what the cops are saying. And he's like, by order of the governor? I mean, it has to be a law. And so you can't just do by order of the governor. And I don't know if people realize that they can't just utilize that. That's like a scare tactic too. And so there's things that we have to understand that we can see through, so we can say, no, that is not going to sell on me. I'm sorry, by order of the governor. So, in order to
and
do
the
that,
order of the governor thing, you mm-hmm. know, a lot of times these are press releases. They're barely even barely even properly written into law.
And, good point.
And not into law. They're poorly written on the paper, and there's nothing to track down afterwards to say what exactly has the governor attempted to order. A lot of times it's some press release or something written up in a newspaper that just becomes treated like it's a law.
Yes,
which it isn't.
Yes, great point. Because there was a woman, a friend of mine, her friend was on the beach, and the officer came up and said, by order of the governor, you have to leave. And so she actually thought that was a thing. And so she got up, but she could have fought that. So we just have to know this. I love that you're willing to kind of spell this out for people too, because this is, you know, like you say, you know, we actually have a responsibility to be probably civilly disobedient, don't we? I mean, we should be.
That, Henry David Thoreau, he probably one of my favorite American writers. Every July 4th, I try to read his book, Civil Disobedience, to kind of remind me what this is all about, how we end up with our freedoms. Thoreau wrote, disobedience is the true foundation of liberty.
Wow.
The obedient must be slaves.
Well, brilliant. I mean, this is in your article, and I love this point. I loved this point because I thought we have to remind ourselves that we're so sheep-like that we actually think the sheep-like is being a good citizen. Actually, that not an American citizen. That's a good citizen in China, but in America over here, this is supposed to be civil disobedience. You're supposed to challenge things that are unconstitutional.
And it's a great point to bring up with China, that this is more and more. I saw a Wall Street Journal article the other day that it said something like is freedom the downfall of America or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I read the byline and I said, where's this guy at? And I find out a guy in Beijing is writing this Wall Street Journal article.
It was just entirely
antithetical to the concept of what's working in America. So, like, this idea, what happened in China is just horrific, that they made people afraid of their doctors. They made people afraid to go seek medical care. They ended up using all these sprays and chemicals. And I have no question that one day we'll be able to look back at this and say that the Chinese response was, according to the data, just awful.
Right.
And the places in the United States where we relied on the American way of doing things, which is to say the individual gets to choose what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Authority has to be as local as possible. We're going to see that worked.
Right.
Instead of right now there are so many people saying, how can we be more like China? And it's just insane.
I don't know, it is.
This kind of talk.
Oh my gosh. We're going to come right back. We have another break. I see it goes so fast. Ugh. Anyway, we're going to go to a break real quick, and then we're going to come back. And I'm talking with Alan Stivo. He writes all about international politics, culture from a free market perspective at 52 weeks in Slovakia. He is the author of How to Win America, The Bitcoin Manifesto. Just a great guy. And you know what? Great pieces, too, for the Daily Caller, The Hill. He is their contributor writer. And we're going to, well, anyway, we'll be right back. More with Alan Stivo when we come back.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables.